The National Broadcasting Company presents the American Forum of the Air, founded 22 years ago by Theodore Granick and dedicated to the full and public discussion of all sides of all issues, coming to you transcribed from Washington, D.C. Now, here is your moderator, Theodore Granick.
The United States Senate Banking and Currency Committee has just concluded hearings on federal rent control. The House Committee will begin similar hearings next week. Senator Herbert H. Lehman of New York has introduced a bill which would extend rent control for 2 years. It establishes rents at a March 1949 level. Rent increases may be granted to remove hardship or inequity. The housing expediter may remove rent control in areas where he finds 5% or more vacancies. And under certain conditions, he may recontrol areas removed from rent control. Opponents, however, contend that it's time to call a halt to this kind of regimentation. They feel that the guise of emergency has worn a bit thin, and it's time to return to our people certain powers that belong rightfully to them. So today, the American Forum of the Air has invited Senator Lehman to discuss this vital subject with Senator Alan J. Ellender, the distinguished senior senator from Louisiana who has long been an authority on housing legislation. Now, Senator Lehman, what do you think of Senator Ellender's views that it is better for our economy and our American way of life to eliminate this form of government regulation?
I do not agree with Senator Ellender. I think that the question of shelter affects every man, woman, and child in this country. Shelter is a necessity for everybody. There is no possible substitute for shelter. And rent is the largest single factor in the income of the average citizen of this country. It consumes a larger share of his income than any other single commodity. Now, I want to see the end of rent control, of course, but I want to see it brought about in an orderly way. I want to see it brought about at a time when the supply of housing units has caught up to at least a reasonable extent with the demand for housing units, and I'm quite convinced that that is not the case at the present time.
Do you feel that way, Senator Ellender?
No, Mr. Granick. I think that this rent control legislation should be ended. The same arguments that are now being advanced by my good friend from New York was advanced 1 year ago when the rent control was ended up for debate in the Senate. The war's been over now for 5 years, and the only legal basis for rent control is this undefined and undefinable war power. That's the only excuse for it. And Senator Sparkman from Alabama, who was the chief spokesman for the banking committee last year, made this statement. The committee felt that within the next year, that's this year, 1950, those states in which it appeared that rent control will still be needed for more than another year should give serious consideration to their assuming the rent control function. It is our hope that the states in which rent control is still needed beyond a year from now will have had the foresight to take over the function by then, and that the federal government will no longer be required to carry on this function. And in a radio address delivered by me on March 26, 1949, over a year ago, I said, in voting for the pending measure, and I did vote for its extension for the third time, I shall insist that federal rent controls be terminated in 12 months.
Senator
and that
Lehman,
means this
well,
year.
Mr. Granick, I didn't have the privilege of being in the Senate last year, but it seems to me that we shouldn't be controlled by what Senator Sparkman or Senator Ellender said a year ago. We must be controlled by the conditions as we meet them today. Now, I believe that whatever these gentlemen and others in the Senate may have felt at that time, the need has not ended. Now, may I ask Senator Ellender this question? Rent control can, under existing law, be ended by act of the legislature and the governor, by act of any municipality, by act of the housing expediter, on recommendation further of the advisory housing committee in any community. So that it's an easy thing to end rent control today.
But I'd like to ask the senator whether rent control has been ended in Louisiana or in any of the large municipalities of Louisiana.
No, it has not been ended in Louisiana, but we're hopeful that the federal government will not reenact, the Congress will not reenact this law. If Louisiana is in need of any rent control, let the legislature of Louisiana pass upon that. If rent control is desired in the city of New Orleans, let that municipality pass upon that subject. The great state of New York passed upon it a few months ago, and as I understand, you now have on the statute books of New York a law which would deal with that question, and that's where that question belongs now.
Well, Senator, I haven't got the slightest objection to giving authority to the municipalities. They have that authority, as a matter of fact, today. But I can't help but be impressed by the fact that in the great state of Louisiana, for which I have great affection because my parents were married in New Orleans nearly 100 years ago, the largest cities, Baton Rouge, Monroe, New Orleans, Shreveport, Ruston, and none of the others have ever sought to end rent control. And I'm informed, you may have better information than I, but I am informed that the vacancies today in New Orleans are less than 1%, which of course is far less than the normal vacancy record.
That may be true, Senator Lehman, but I can tell you this, sir, that I have not received many letters from my constituency in Louisiana. And if rent control is necessary in Louisiana, our legislature will meet next week, by the way. And if a showing can be made that rent controls are necessary in the state of Louisiana, then I say let the legislature of the state do the job and not the federal government.
Well, Senator Ellender, I'm sure that you're familiar with the fact that in many states the legislature only meets once in 2 years, so that if we cut off rent control today, those states would be entirely without any protection whatsoever. And I certainly don't want to take away the right from a state or from a municipality to come out from under federal rent control if they want to. But I again can't help say that I'm deeply impressed by the fact that only 6 states thus far have asked to come out from under rent control. 2 of those states have passed their own rent control laws, it is true, but only 6 in all have come out from rent control, which to me shows very clearly that there is need in these states. I don't think anybody can possibly question the fact that there is need of rent control in the great states of Illinois and Minnesota and Pennsylvania, as there was in New York. And I don't see why you should be anxious to take away the protection that a federal rent control act might have in those states which can't take action or do not wish to take action today.
Well, now, Governor Lehman, you don't mind my calling you governor, although you're a senator.
I'm very glad to have you call me governor.
There are 8 states that have decontrolled rent. That is, it's within their power to do it. And there are 2 that have put laws on their statute books to become effective when the federal government gets out of the picture. And there are 11 others in which rent control is practically non-existent. Now, Governor, I'd like to ask you a question. How can you justify placing landlords as the only business people under the heel of government? In other words, why do we single out landlords? The war's been over, as I said, for 5 years now. And everybody else is free to do what they want practically in business. And yet, there's an insistence on the part of some to keep rent controlled in power and thereby deal with only one segment of business, and that is the owners and renters of real estate. I'd like you to answer me that question.
I'd be glad to answer it. In the first place, the landlords are not held under the heels of federal control. There is machinery now which permits the raising of rents when any hardship on landlords can be shown. And I wonder, Senator, whether you know that out of every four requests from landlords for an advance in the rents which they may charge their tenants, three were granted by the Federal Housing Expediter. And I wonder whether you also realize that the rental increases that were allowed by the Federal Housing Expediter were nearly 18% in the last year. Now, that certainly shows that the rights of the landlord in the greatest part of the cases, there may be occasional hardships, has been recognized.
Well, Governor, that's true. That may be true in some cases, but they had to go through so much red tape that a good many landlords didn't even try to have their rents adjusted in any manner.
Well,
to go back to what I call is this injustice, ladies and gentlemen. The cost of living has gone up 95% since the war. Apparel, that is, wearing clothing, has gone up 84%. House furnishings, 85%. The per capita income has increased 139% over 1939. Personal income, that is, salaries and wages, have increased 190% over 1939, and salaries alone and income have increased 197%. And rents, 23%. I say that's unjust to a great segment of our business society.
Well,
I'd like for the senator to comment on that.
Well, I'd be glad to comment on it, because I wonder whether the senator from Louisiana realizes that in the existing law, and certainly in the bill which I have introduced in Congress, the full machinery is set up to give to the landlords any legitimate increase in his rentals. If he can show that his income has decreased, if he can show that the cost of his operations has increased, if he can show that because of improvements or changes or better service, he has to make a larger outlay. The federal expediter has a right, of which he has availed himself in three out of four cases, to raise rents. But I'd like to point out, too, which I'm sure the senator from Louisiana knows, that this bill, this situation, rather, of rent control affects a tremendous segment of our population. If there wasn't rent control of one kind or another, 40 million people would be without protection. And even after New York handles its own rent control, and its rent control certainly just as much as rent control of a federal character, and Alabama and Virginia, which are the other two states, come out from under federal rent control, there still will be nearly 30 million people affected. Now, I cannot possibly, as a representative not only of my own state, but I think of the nation as a whole, view with anything but very great alarm any measure that is going to affect 30 or 40 million of our people who will have no protection at all. The record shows that in those communities where rent control has been removed, the rents have gone up very, very sharply.
Senator Oliver.
Well, I wish to point out to my distinguished colleague that rents have gone up to some extent where there was decontrol, something to be expected. But it hasn't been very much. In a survey made in seven cities throughout the country by the Labor Department, the rent throughout, that is, the general rise of rent, was 21.2%. That was the highest or low of 2.9%. That was something to be expected. And if the statistics are studied, it will be noted that the increase in these rents were the rents were extremely low. Now, I do admit that what my good friend states is true, that somebody's toes will be trampled on. But let me point out to him this, and to you, that when this Rent Control Act was placed on the statute books, there were 16 million dwelling units affected. Today, 8 years after the original act was passed, and 5 years after the war, you still have 11,000 units under control. When will it end? Does my distinguished colleague want rent control to continue until everybody is provided with a good home to live in? Well, if he does, rent control will be here to stay, the same as it has been in France. They started out there as a more or less a war measure, but rent control has been in France for 16 years. And I don't want that to happen in this country, because if you keep controlling rents, somebody might want to control something else. And I believe that if rent controls are necessary in any particular part of our nation, let that particular part of the nation act on its own and do not let the federal government put it on everybody, whether they need it or not.
Senator Lehman.
Senator, I certainly don't want rent control to remain on the books 1 minute longer than is necessary. But as I said before, I want it to end in an orderly way when supply of housing units is caught up reasonably well with the demand. Now, you talked about a 21% increase and rather minimized that. I think a 21% increase is pretty big, as a matter of fact. But I can give you figures of rents in the cities that have terminated a federal rent control, and these figures were prepared by the Labor Department, as you say, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, in a city like Houston, Texas, in the apartments under $30 $30 per month, the average rent increase was over 46%. In Beverly Hills of California, it was nearly 43%. In Dallas, Texas, it was nearly 56%. And there's no doubt that those are the average increases.
Well, let me point out to my distinguished colleague that the 40% that he refers to is not on the total rent. It's only on 33% of all the units in the city of Houston in which you had a rise of 40%. And that meant per month, per unit, a rise of $12.03.
Gentlemen, may I take a question? I don't know whether that's a landlord or a tenant, but go ahead with the question.
I'm the National Housing Director of the American Veterans Committee, and I'd like to ask Senator Lehman a question. Do you think New York State rent control would survive if national controls are scuttled and the real estate lobby concentrates on New York?
That's a pretty hard question to answer, because I'm not the chief executive of New York, nor am I the legislature of the state of New York. But I will say
he's
this.
Counting on your long experience as chief executive of New York.
I will say this, that there has been some question raised about the constitutionality of the law passed by the legislature of New York and signed by the governor. If we have a federal law, even if that law were declared unconstitutional, the people of New York would be protected. And nobody can convince me that the people of New York do not need protection in on their rents. If we took off rent controls of the city of New York, I shudder to think of the rate of increases that might be charged to people, particularly in the low rental apartments.
Well, I wonder if my good friend here has confidence that Governor Dewey is going to see that the law is obeyed. Aren't you going? Don't you think he's a good executive?
Oh, well, I won't answer that question. But I'll say this: that I'm quite sure that Governor Dewey would at all times do his utmost to see that the laws of the state of New York are obeyed.
That's my belief
but
of him.
That
Senator.
Was not that. That is not what I said. I said that the law that was passed recently in the state of New York is subject to review, judicial review, by the Court of Appeals of the state of New York, and there is at least some question as to its constitutionality. Now, if the law is declared constitutional, while it's not the law which I would have written, I'm sure that it will be very helpful. But if it should be declared unconstitutional and there was no federal law, then the people of New York would be left without any protection whatsoever. And I certainly don't want to see that happen now or at any other time.
Well, Governor Lehman, it's my considered judgment that if the Congress should make the mistake to enact another federal law, and if that is attacked, the federal law may be declared unconstitutional. As I pointed out a while ago, the only reason why the Congress has the right to enact federal legislation is because of war power. Now, as I pointed out, the war has been over for quite some time, and there's doubt in my mind as to whether or not it could be established. That is, that the court would maintain a law under this War Power Act, which has grown mighty thin, as my good friend Mr. Granick pointed out in his opening statement.
We'll have a war if we don't take another question. Go ahead, madam, please.
Senator Ellender, if the rent controls were lifted, couldn't the landlords be limited by the government to raise their rents a certain percentage and be unlawful to go over that percentage?
Well, I doubt that that could be done, madam. You'd again get into constitutional questions. It would be like telling your grocerman that he shouldn't charge you more than 10 cents a loaf of bread or 10 cents a can for milk. I don't believe that that would be possible.
You want to comment on that, Senator Lehman?
Well, I didn't. I'm not sure that I heard the question sufficiently to answer it.
Would you care to ask that again, madam? Would you care to comment on your own question to Senator Lehman? We'll give you the mic again. Go ahead.
Would you care to comment on the question? Would you like to ask it again?
Would you care to what?
Would you like to ask the question again?
Oh.
Or we'll take the very next one. Go ahead, ma'am.
Ask this question.
We'll take the next question, if you will. Go ahead, please.
Senator Lehman, doesn't the scarcity of homes for lower and middle income levels make it necessary to continue rent control?
Oh, I'm with you 100% on that and more. As a matter of fact, as you may know, I was a very strong supporter of additional housing for people of middle incomes. I think it's a great necessity. But certainly today, there is not sufficient housing to care for people of middle, moderate, or low incomes. And the result, in my opinion, of any removal of rent control would be that their rents would inevitably go skyrocket so high that they simply could not pay them.
Well, that's that condition of scarcity of homes, I may say, to the lady who has just asked the question, has been in existence for many, many years. Why, back in 1930, they were short each year by almost 2 million homes, and that condition has been existing and continuing in this country for quite some time. And if we depend on that factor to end rent control, then I say it's going to be with us for quite a few more years.
Well, I don't agree with the senator at all that in 1930, for any reasonable number of years thereafter, there was a great surplus of rental units. I remember very distinctly when I was governor, from 1932 to 1942, that there were tremendous number of vacancies in the cities of New York State. I can't speak for the rest of the country, but on that subject, I can speak with authority.
Another question. Go ahead, sir.
Senator Ellender, if the federal rent control law were abolished, wouldn't a lower standard of living be forced on those who would have to pay an almost certain increase in rent?
Well, I presume that would occur. There's no doubt about that. But let me point out to you that the wages of these people have increased considerably since the war. The rentals that these people in low-income groups have been paying were based on whatever it was in March of 1942. And at that time, the rentals were almost in line with what they received per day, per month. But since that time, as I pointed out a moment ago, the personal income of the average wage earner has increased since 1939 190%. So that the average wage earner today is capable of paying a little more rental than was the case back in 1942.
Senator Ellender, the gentleman who just asked that question said, isn't it a fact that if rentals were increased, the standard of living would be reduced?
Why, sir, I agree with that.
You don't want the standard of living of our people in this country to be reduced. I'm sure of that.
Well, of course I don't want to do that, but the point is, though, that what I was trying to show was that they're no worse off now than they were back in 1942 when rent control was placed on the statute.
I want us to be much better off than we were in 1932. We were down in the doldrums in 1932, I want to see a possibly...
I said 1939. Well, 1939,
well, we weren't so prosperous in 1939 either. I want the standard of living of our people to be constantly increased. And I certainly don't think you can do that.
There's no disagreement between you and me on that score, but I don't believe it ought to be made at the expense of only one group of people. That's those who own the land and who build it for rental purposes. Now, if you wanted to let everybody suffer by it, all right. But you take today. I hired a plumber the other day to do a little work in my own home. 7 or 8 years ago, that plumber charged me $1 an hour. Today, $3.50 for the same work. And the same thing goes for other people who are employed.
Time for summaries. Your summary, Senator Allen. Will you continue, please?
It is high time for rent controls to go. They have served their purpose, and in the light of present conditions, should be allowed to lapse. I do not believe we now have sufficient emergency, national emergency, that is, to justify under our constitutional federal controls any more rent controls. A sound basis under the Constitution is necessary for the federal government to derive a national power to control rents. Otherwise, that power resides where it should be, in the states or in the people. Our states or even our municipalities, adversely affected by the lifting of controls, can take the proper action to prevent any injustices that may arise in a few areas. But let us once and for all, I hope, dissolve the bureaucratic regulation of private property from Washington. I might say that from the information made available to me, I do not honestly believe rents will rise to the extent that the alarmists and the pressure groups claim. The statistics regarding cities already decontrolled serve to support this view.
Thank you, Senator Ellender. Senator Lehman, your summary, please.
I want to point out that today, under existing law, every state, every municipality has the right to come out from under control if they wish to do so and take the proper legislative action. But I want to point out that if our actions are to reflect the economic needs of the nation, we must continue federal rent control. We must do so because in 63 cities with a 1940 population of 100,000 or more, there will be nothing, and I repeat, absolutely nothing, to prevent sky-high rent increases after June 30th, 1950. All factors point to such increases in the absence of rent control. Critics of rent control readily admit this, but say, why not? We must enact, therefore, a Federal Rent Control Act in order to protect over 29 million people living in almost 8.5 million rental units. We cannot dodge the issue or the responsibility. Rent control still is a national problem and should and must be met by national action.
Thank you, Senator Lehman. Thank you, gentlemen. We've been listening to a discussion, Shall We Continue Federal Rent Control? Our speakers have been Senator Herbert H. Lehman of New York and Senator Alan J. Ellender of Louisiana. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
For reprints of this discussion, send 10 cents to Ransdell Incorporated, Printers and Publishers, Washington 18, D.C. That is 10 cents to RANSDELL, Ransdell Incorporated, Washington 18, D.C. Join us again next week at this same time for a discussion on the vital question, After the Marshall Plan, What? Our speakers will be Senator Edwin C. Johnson, Democrat of Colorado, Senator Homer E. Capehart, Republican of Indiana, Willard L. Thorpe, Assistant Secretary of State for Economic Affairs, and C. Tyler Wood, Assistant Administrator for Operations of ECA. The American Forum of the Air, founded and moderated by Theodore Granick, has been presented transcribed as a public service by the National Broadcasting Company. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.